Father, we thank you, we give you praise and glory. Thank you for your children that are gathered here together, here for fellowship. We give you praise. Again, as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light, gives understanding to the simple. And now we're going to use your word today, Lord, to create change and light into our situation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to read just a quick scripture, a couple of quick scriptures that we're going to use the background for our prayers today. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, finally, my brethren, in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So right away, we see that the Lord doesn't want us to be weak. You know, he's commanding us to be strong. You need to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. You know, I mean, we call the Lord the Almighty. So when you think of the Lord's might and the power that goes with that, well, the Bible is pretty much saying, put on that kind of strength. You know, one scripture challenges the Lord and says, well, awake, O Lord, put on thy strength, O arm of the Lord, you know, and so forth. Well, we also need to awake and put on our strength, the strength of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, Zion should awake, put on its strength, put on its beautiful garments. But today we want to actually put on strength through prayer and through faith. So we're going to see what that's all about. And we're going to do the same today. So back to Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that we should be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he says that we should put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the reason for putting on the whole armor, not just some partial part of the armor, is to be able to withstand all the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, let's do some wrestling here today, but yeah, let's get it right. We're wrestling against principalities, wrestling against powers, wrestling against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. In order for you to wrestle and fight a good fight and war, a good warfare, it says you need to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, still be standing. Praise God. Now, here are some things. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. There are many parts of this full armor of God. I'm going to focus on just two of them today. Here are all the various parts. You know, put on, you know, the belt of truth. That's your loins being girded about. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. We've been talking about righteousness through faith the last few days. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means you are quick to share the gospel. You know, but here's where I'm going. Above all. See, now when the scripture says above all, then that means that, look, that's perhaps one of the most important pieces of your weaponry. So we want to talk about that today. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So the wicked is shooting arrows, bullets, or whatever at you. You got the shield of faith up, and you're right behind that shield, and you're able to deflect, quench anything that the devil might throw at you. Well, there's also the element of salvation. That's the assurance and the hope that we have in Christ that we are saved. And the sword of the Spirit. Well, that's the word of God. You know, so the word of God, we're going to use it combined with our prayer. It says, the sword, taking on the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. All prayer and supplication of the Spirit. We use the word of God for prayer. We don't pray our own mind. We pray his word. You know, so even though we're talking about faith and prayer, there's really three things. There are really three things that we're talking about here. There is faith, there is prayer, but along with faith, there is the Word of God. Because you got to use the Word of God for these things. Praise the Lord. You know, so the Lord
You muted.
Yeah, sorry. Some people are coming in here, so I muted for. Go together for us today. We'll be also using the Word of God to go with that. Praise the Lord. So, as we have spoken at many different times, you are aware of the Word of God. You know, we have an echo from someone's phone here. Give me a minute to get that. We're going to be using the Word of God for prayers. We're going to be using our faith. Why is it important for us to have faith? You know, and what can faith do for us? Remember, the title today is Building Spiritual Defenses Through Faith and Prayer. Now, faith is something that if we don't have, according to Hebrews 11 and 6, you cannot please the Lord. It's impossible to please the Lord without faith. Furthermore, Jesus said, you know, in Luke chapter, you know, when he was talking about when the Son of Man shall come, Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, well, shall he find faith upon the earth? There are many things that he could have asked if he would find, but it was faith that he asked. Because, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that we haven't seen yet. But without it, we cannot please the Lord. But when you have faith, you can accomplish a lot of things. There are many stories of faith in the Bible. There's all kinds of faith. There's little faith. There's no faith at all. I mean, many times Jesus rebuked the disciples for having no faith. At other times he rebuked them for having little faith. But there were times when he rejoiced to see great faith, you know, either in the centurion that said, well, you don't even have to come. Speak the word only. Jesus rejoiced at the great faith that he saw there. Or the woman who would not take no for an answer, the Syrophoenician woman, said, well, even the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the table. Jesus rejoiced at great faith. Well, the scripture says, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. If you don't have faith, you're going to be tossed up and down by the devil. Or if you have little faith, that's not good enough. We got to build up our most holy faith. And Jesus likes great faith. He's always looking for that, not just a little or no faith at all. So we're going to be using our faith every time that the devil throws something at you. It's perhaps your greatest weapon. It's called the shield of faith. And through it, we're told that you can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. But there's more to faith than that. You know, faith is not just about quenching the fiery darts of the enemy, as you know. You know, faith is about just about everything. When we are praying and believing God for something, we got to use our faith. Because according to Mark 9 and 23, it says all things are possible to him that believeth. You know, so when you have your faith and you know how to use it right, you can actually accomplish anything. Now, prayer along with faith is really important. There are many times that we see that Jesus, you know, he would rise up early in the morning and go and pray while the disciples were still sleeping. And he was a man of prayer. He spent time in prayers many, many times. It's an example in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. We're told that, you know, Jesus would, you know, get up early and pray before the day would start. I mean, he was someone that was accustomed to that. And that's a good practice. I mean, before the day would start, you know, he would be out in a solitary place and he'd be praying. Now let's read Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before daybreak, so to speak, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And afterwards, you know, the people found him and so on. So he was used to getting up early in the morning and praying about the day. We see also that when he was about to select his disciples, you know, he was in prayer just about, you know, all night. And then later on, he came and selected his disciples and so on and so forth. Jesus was always praying. Now, the disciples of Jesus were not always praying, unfortunately. There were times that they would pray, but they wouldn't pray. Even when Jesus had his darkest moments facing, you know, the greatest trial of his life, he would have to go through and become darkness. He knew it. And he was praying for strength. He was praying to be able to go through it because he knew what was coming. It wasn't the physical death that he was troubled about. It was a separation from the Father, which he knew had to happen. If he was to be made darkness or to be made sin for us, well, he would have to be separated from the Father. So he knew that. And he was praying about it, asked the disciples to pray with him. They couldn't. And they were sleeping. And, you know, finally Jesus said, well, sleep on now. Well, that didn't work out well for them. They ended up either departing from the Lord or denying him. You know, so prayer is something that we cannot trifle with. We've got to take prayer seriously. There are some people that took prayer seriously in the scriptures. You know, we see that someone like Daniel, we're told that he had, you know, a set of time for prayer. And no matter what, he was always there at his post of prayer. Even when the people, you know, planned evil against him to try to use his steadfastness for prayer against him, you know, they went to the king and said, well, your king signed a decree that in 30 days, if anybody should ask petition of anybody, any god other than you, should be thrown into a den of lions. And, you know, they knew that Daniel wouldn't shake, and he did not shake. And so, you know, despite the fact that they made that decree, he continued steadfast in prayer. When the time of prayer came, as his manner was, it wasn't just because of the decree that he went to do that just to be defiant. No. But as his manner was, you know, he went to the time of prayer and did what he would do, even as before. Didn't matter whether there was a decree that could take his life. He was steadfast in prayer. You know, the early church also, they were used to prayer. They had different times of prayer that they would go to either the temple if they were in Jerusalem or different synagogues if they were in other places. Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. So there was certain times of prayer. This one was community prayer, or what some people call communal prayer, you know, but also personal prayer. I mean, we don't have to wait until there's a prayer meeting. We can have our own, you know, personal prayer times. you know, and it's one of the best ways for us to build our spiritual defenses. A person that's not prayed up, they're going to panic when, you know, evil situations arise or storms of life. We see that in the story in Mark chapter 4. Jesus was prayed up. There's a big difference. He was prayed up. He was able to go and sleep, even though he knew the storm was coming. The disciples were not prayed up, you know, and they panicked when the storm arose. Big difference. You know, so, you know, if we start to pray after the storm has already started or has arrived, we're going to, at best, panic because we're not even ready. But if you were already prayed up, perhaps the Lord would have even assured you during times of prayer, like, you know, in Acts 27, we see Paul facing shipwreck with others, but the night before, the angel of the Lord had already assured him during prayer that there will be no life lost. And so when the storm arose, he was confident that there will be no life lost. Well, other people panicked. They were trying to jump aboard, you know, overboard and so on. You have to tell them, if you don't stay in the ship, you will not be saved. Got to stay in the ship. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, but, you know, if we are facing a crisis and that's the time that we start to pray, it's perhaps a little too late. You know, you're going to panic and be running helter-skelter. We need to pray and be prayed up even before any situation arises that may create stress or trauma. So when is the time to pray? All the time. Scripture says, pray without ceasing. But especially in the good times, when things are good, you know, that's when you even pray more. We see stories of various leaders of Israel in the Bible, like kings. You know, they tried to do more and fortify their defenses when they had time of rest. Yeah? So Asa was such a king. And God gave him rest for 10 years all around. There was no, you know, even Solomon, neither evil occurrence or adversary or foe, you know. Then they said, well, you know, let's do more for the Lord. Let's build a house for the Lord. Let's build up our cities, or let's do this, let's do that. So, you know, it's not just in the time of crisis that we need to pray. We need to pray all the time. Even more so when things appear to be peaceful, we need to pray up for and against the evil day. There's always going to be some evil, you know, hiding or waiting around the corner, waiting to strike. The enemy is like a viper that's coiled up all the time, waiting to strike. And, you know, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8, all he's looking for is an opening to strike. Well, through prayer, we make sure he cannot find an opening. If he finds an opening, it may be too late. It will strike. You know, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and he that breaks a hedge, that's the opening that the devil's looking for. You know, you build up your shield of faith around you to create that hedge. If you break it, either through prayerlessness or lack of faith or unbelief or fear and all these other negative things, then the devil has an opening that he can strike through. A serpent will strike through if he finds an opening. 1 Peter 5 and 8 tells us that the devil, our adversary, is going about looking for whom to devour. So he can't devour everybody, but he's looking, and he may find some careless ones. Those are the ones that he can devour. Well, you need to make sure that you are not one of those careless ones that the devil can devour. You'll be all prayed up. So we're going to put our faith and our prayer and the word of God together today. Now, the most effective kind of prayer is prayer, of course, that's based upon the word of God. Same thing with faith. For faith to be valid, it's got to be based on the word of God. We have taught that many times on this platform from Lamentation 3 and 37. Which says, well, who is it that saith anything and it comes to pass? if the Lord has not commanded it. So we know that, you know, for our faith to be valid, it's got to be based on the word of God. The same thing with prayer. We can't just pray anything we want. You know, we got to pray according to his will. 1 John 5:14-15 says, you know, this is the confidence that we have, that when we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And because he hears us, we know we shall receive the petition that we are desiring of him. But it's got to be according to his will. So that's where knowing the word of God comes into. You know, so faith must be based on the word of God to be valid. Prayer must be based on the word of God to be valid. So we see that the word of God is the anchor or the foundation for both faith and prayer. As a matter of fact, Romans 10, you know, 17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Behind true faith is the word of God. Behind real prayer is the word of God. You know, we pray the word of God. The shortest distance, or the, you know, between you and the answer to your prayer, or the quickest way to get an answer to your prayer, is to pray God's word. You know, so that's why we teach that all the time. Find what God already said about it, and then pray his word back to him. You know, so the prayer that we're going to use to build up our spiritual defenses and the faith that we're going to use to build up our spiritual defenses, those must both be based upon the word of God. How do we do that? Well, it's really not that hard. You know, we're believing God for something. Let's say we're believing God for protection. That's right. Protection. You know, we're talking about building up our spiritual defenses. So let's talk about protection as an example. Well, then we use the word of God. We use the scriptures. You know, and then you find what God has said about your protection. And you do accordingly. You know, some of the things that God has said require certain conditions. So we make sure we do accordingly. You find the scripture, find whatever conditions surround it. You do accordingly. And then you are assured. It gives you confidence in your heart because you know you are using the word of God. You know, here's one. Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So that's a scripture that has to do with protection, your deliverance, your protection. You've got angelic bodyguard. But, you know, there is a hidden secret with this verse as well. What does it say? That them that fear him. So the condition here is not for us to be praying that God should, you know, have an angel to guide us. It's for us to be praying that God should give us a heart that fears the Lord. You know, that's all you need. If you fear the Lord, it is automatic that the angel of the Lord will be around you. So I don't need to pray that the angel of the Lord should protect me. I just need to pray that, you know, my heart will find, you know, I mean, I'll find grace to turn my heart towards fearing the Lord all the time. That's what I need to do. If in my heart I fear the Lord, then it's a guaranteed that the angel of the Lord be around me to protect me. But it's a good thing to pray. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus taught us to pray. You know, among the things that Jesus taught his disciples to pray about, one of them was, you know, deliver us from evil. So that's a good prayer too. Deliver us from evil. And that's one prayer that I want us to pray today. Well, and there are many ways that we can deliver. I mean, the Lord can deliver us from evil. There is a way that we ourselves can also, you know, deliver ourselves from evil. God walking and we walking together to deliver ourselves from evil. Why do I say that? Well, because the scripture says that the prudent man foreseeth the evil and he hideth himself. So that's one way of delivering yourself from evil. You know, you foresee the evil. How do you foresee the evil? Through the word of God. You know, you see what the word of God already said about the situation, you avoid it. You know, but if you don't, then you may find yourself in trouble. Nevertheless, you know, the Lord can still pull you out. So the Lord will deliver us from evil. We can also deliver ourselves, you know, as a roe from the snare. We can deliver ourselves, you know, because through wisdom, see, through wisdom, you know, a person that is wise is a person that is called prudent, and he can deliver himself by his wisdom. You know, wisdom is foresight in many cases. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. He sees danger ahead and he hides himself from it. Well, if he doesn't use any wisdom, he will fall into that thing and then he will be in trouble. Then he will be scrambling to use his faith, you know. And I often say, well, you know, it doesn't matter how you got into trouble. If you have real faith, you know, God will pull you out anyway. However, if you use wisdom in the first place, you might not have fallen into that ditch. So that's what Proverbs 22 verse 3 tells us. If you use wisdom, you can foresee evil. God will give you wisdom to see into the circumstances that that's a no-no. That's not something you should do. And then you can hide yourself, you know. But the Lord also can hide us. And there's a good scripture in Psalm 91. A lot of people like to read it when, you know, they're looking for protection. And it's a good psalm, you know, but let's see how the psalm starts up. You know, there are many things that we want to believe God for in the scriptures, but God is a God of principle. He will only follow his principle. The principle of Psalm 91 starts out by saying, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. See, so, you know, there is a requirement. You know, all these things in Psalm 91 is based upon this first verse. You be dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You will also abide under the shadow of the Almighty by dwelling in the secret. What's that secret place? Well, you are in a place where you are always gazing upon him. You are in a place where you are meditating on his word. You are in a place where you are praising the Lord and repeating his word. All of those are the secret place of the Lord. You are in a place of communion and intimacy with God. Through praising the Lord and repeating his word, meditating on his word day and night, we are in that place. Well, that is the place where protection, you know, dwells. Yeah, in that you dwell in there, protection also dwells with you. I will say of the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. The Lord will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. If and when you dwell in that secret place of the Most High, you'll be under the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, the Almighty will be your defense. Praise the Lord. You know, there's another thing. There's another place where it tells you how to get the Almighty to be in your defense. It's still the same thing. You got to acquaint yourself with the Lord, you know, through prayer and drawing close unto him. Here's the way that it says it, in the book of Job, chapter 22, verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him. That's intimacy. Intimacy comes from many things: prayer, dedication of time to the Lord, one-on-one quiet time, and all of that, studying, reading his word, and so on and so forth. Or prayer. It's an essential part of that. You know, a person of prayer is more likely to be more intimate with God than a person that is prayerless. You know, so acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby, good shall come unto thee. Well, you know, and he says, if thou return, he said, first of all, receive, I pray thee, the law out of his mouth. Lay up his words in your hearts. You see, again, everything ties back to the word of the Lord. If you return to the Almighty, then thou shalt be built up. Also, put away iniquity. the tabernacles, and he caused you to lay up gold as dust, even the gold of Ophir, as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense. Well, through intimacy and being acquainted with the Lord, you get the Almighty to be your defense. He will fight for you. Praise the Lord. You know, so it will be your defense. And the psalmist David, he knew that, and he would say things like, the Lord is my rock, is my defense, is my salvation, is my song, is my fortress, is my buckler, it's all these things. My high tower even. He knew all of that through intimacy with the Lord. So intimacy comes by prayer. Prayer is necessary for building up our defenses. The prayer must be based upon the word of God. We can't be praying some random thing which God hasn't said. We need to be praying what God has already said. If the Lord said, I am the Lord, and I will remove sickness from the midst of thee, and I will bread thy bread and thy water, then you use that in prayer. Because the Lord already said it. You know, so if the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, even to the uttermost parts of the earth, then you use that in prayer. Because he already said it. The Lord said, the angel of the Lord encamp around you as long as you fear the Lord, then you use that in prayer. On and on and on. Even when the Lord said, when you pass through fire or water, according to Isaiah 43:2, they will not overwhelm you or burn you. No, you use that in prayer because the Lord already said it. So, but we need to pray. Need to be more prayerful. In fact, Jesus told disciples, pray lest you fall into temptation. You know, and pray. Jesus was telling them. Peter said, well, you know, I don't know if anybody else would deny you, not me. You know, he was so confident that he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't deny the Lord. And Jesus just shook his head. Peter, today you will deny me 3 times before the cock will even crow 2 times. But I said, I'll never do it. But he did. You know, so because he wasn't prayerful enough. You know, his eyes were heavy. They all were. Bible said, you know, because of sorrow and everything. They didn't really understand the fact that Jesus says he's going away and he's going to be crucified and all that. They were sorrowful and they really couldn't pray. Well, that's a dangerous trick of the devil. You know, when you are sorrowful, that's when you should pray more. You know, don't ever allow yourself to be in a situation where, you know, you are sad, you're sorrowful, then you can't pray. In fact, here's the prescription that James gives about prayer. He said, look, is any one of you afflicted? James chapter 5 and verse 13. Let him pray. So if you're sorrowful, if you're afflicted and this and that, the prescription is to pray. You know, so pray. Now, there are people who are afflicted and don't pray. In fact, they don't look for encouragement and look for, you know, lifting up. They separate themselves and they go into isolation when they are having situations, some serious situations. I've known people who, you know, are really going through some tough times. Then they pull away from fellowship, they pull away from things that could be encouragement to them. They go into isolation. They allow themselves, you know, to go into depression. And they won't even pray. Well, then you make yourself an easier target for the devil when you do that. You know, you wide open. You create a very large, the serpent doesn't need a small opening. Then he's got a big opening to strike. You know, it reminds me of the story that I tell from time to time. And I love to watch it. And even a few days ago, I was still watching those animal things. The predator sees a pack of deer or cattle or something, and is getting so close. And when they are cluttered together, he can't really attack because he doesn't know which one to attack. But he's patient, prowling, getting ever so closer, and prowling and waiting. But, you know, enough time passes, then one of them, those deer or whatever, wanders away from the pack and just wanders off on its own. That's the one that becomes an easier target. And the lion or tiger or hyena or whatever is prowling focuses on that thing. Generally not on hyena, but those ones are scavengers. But the cheetah, the tiger, the lion, they focus on that one that just went away from the pack. And most of the time, it's dead meat. Well, because there was strength in numbers. When they were clustered together, it formed a protection. Well, there's spiritual protection that we can build through prayer. That's what today. And we're going to do that. But I needed to give the scriptures just to encourage us for doing that. So, when we are facing situations, we must pray. Before you even face situations, you must pray. If we make a habit of, like Jesus, rising early before daytime to pray about things, decisions that are ahead of you and the things that may happen during the day and so forth. In fact, I truly believe, you know, that if we spend more time in prayer, we will avoid more evils. You know, there are some things that happen during the day, accidents and different things, you know. Not all things may be avoidable, but a lot of things are avoidable, I believe, through prayer. You spend enough time in prayer, you know, the Lord might just give you a word or give you inspiration of the Almighty, you know, to not go in that direction or go this way or not that way and so forth. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we could avoid through prayer. And there are many things that the Lord protects us from that we may not know, but prayer is definitely a great helper. Back to Ephesians chapter 6, say, praying with all prayer and all supplications for all saints. And again, prayer is not just for ourselves. You know, there are some people that only pray for themselves. Pray for yourself, pray for your spouse, pray for your children only. Well, that's good, but that's not good enough. We've got to pray for all saints, especially the saints that are in your community, people who are in your local churches, in your prayer groups, in your fellowship groups, and different things. You start out there, and then you fan out. You know, you start out, of course, with your, you know, your core family, and then you spread out, your extended family, and your, you know, your brethren, your communities, and so on and so forth. And we pray. Praying for, you know, all saints. Well, we really should not be praying for the world. You know, because some people try to pray for the world. You cannot save the world. You know, take a cue from Jesus. In John chapter 17, when Jesus was praying, he said, I pray not for the world, you know, but I pray for those who should believe on me through these ones that you have given to me. So let me read it to you in case you don't believe me. In the book of John, chapter 17, I'm going to read a few verses. Now, Father, glorify thou me with thyself, thy own same glory that I had with you before the world began. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them to me, and they have kept thy word. And he said, now they have known that thou, all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. And he said, look, I have given them unto them the words that you gave me, and so on. And they have known surely, you know, that, you know, I came from thee, and so forth. And they are thine they were, you gave them to me, all of mine thine, and all thine is thine, I'm glorified in thee. And I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Now, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom you have given me. Now, this is how Jesus prayed for all his people. You know, while I was with them, I gave them your word, and they kept your word, and I've kept them, none of them is lost, you know, and so on. that the, you know, that except the son of perdition, you know, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. And he goes on and on. There's a lot of prayer that he prays here. He even prays that the Lord should not take them out of the world, but, you know, should keep them, you know, from the evil. Praise the Lord. And in many, as he prays this prayer, you can see the passion of Jesus as he was praying and praying for his disciples, praying for those that would believe on him, and praying for those that God has given him, the Father has given him. So in verse 9, he says, I pray not for the world. See, I pray not for the world. This is what Jesus said. Now, we can't be any better than the Lord. Say, I pray for these ones. I pray not for the world. The world means the world system. It's not people that are living in the world. People that are in the world, we must always pray for, because many of them are still in the valley of decision and God's going to bring them out. So those we must pray for. Because Jesus prayed for this. He said, those who will hear about me through the preaching of these ones. So those are the people. Jesus prayed for all of those. But he did not pray for the world systems. The governments and systems of this world, and the kingdoms of this world are doomed. They cannot be saved. The people that are in them can, and many will be saved. And God wants us to pray for them as witness to them and bring them out. But not the systems. Systems of this world, according to Daniel chapter 2, they are doomed for destruction. In the days of all those kings, at the end, God will set up his own kingdom that will destroy them all. So, we don't pray for the world systems, but we pray for the people in the world that will be saved. Praise the Lord. And that's how Jesus did it. But we must pray for others, not just ourselves, not just our children, our husband, or our wives. Let's pray for the body of Christ. Pray for believers, pray for missionaries, pray for those that are yet to receive the gospel, who are such as should be saved, etc. We pray for leaders, you know, even our communities. The Bible encourages us and even commands us to do that. And, you know, we pray for all men. We just don't pray for world systems. The systems of this world, you know, do not glorify God, and they cannot be redeemed. But the people that are in those systems can, and many of them will be redeemed through prayer and preaching of the word. So, but today we want to focus on praying for protection and praying for our covering, building up our spiritual defenses through prayer and faith. Now, faith is so powerful, it's a shield. You can quench a lot of things, you know. So someday you just find that suddenly some pain came upon your body. Well, you got to use your faith. Hallelujah. And it'd be great if we never had any trouble in the body, never any illness or sickness or any feeling of, you know, ill health and so on. It'd be great. And someday we'll be there. We're not quite there yet. But even now you must use your faith for crises as well. Situations that may develop, use your faith. You know, faith when the devil brings a rumor to you. You know, you got to say what the psalmist said, you know, my heart is fixed. I will not be afraid of evil tidings. You got to be able to use those kinds of faith. And you get a booster to your faith the more of God's promises and the more of his words that you read. If you're looking for promises of, you know, to encourage your heart, well, read the book of Isaiah. There's a lot of promises there, such as I will help you, I will uphold you with my right hand of my righteousness. When you pass through the fire, you know, it will not burn you. I mean, I will go before thee and make straight the crooked places. I will bring down the mountains, you know, raise the valleys. And, I mean, a lot of promises, you know. And then also for inspiration, read the Psalms. You know, the more you praise the Lord, the greater confidence we're going to have to use to for our defenses. So today we're going to spend some time in prayer. I think I've said enough about it. Let's actually do it. We're going to pray, you know, for ourselves and pray for your families and pray for your brethren. We're going to remember those who are ill or sick or suffering under affliction of the devil, one thing or the other. We're going to pray all these prayers. And remember, the more you pray, the greater the defense systems that you are building for yourselves. You know, the devil, they know it. They see it. And we've seen even real life testimonies of people that thought they saw bodyguards around people who were praying. You know, but they were only praying. They didn't have any bodyguards, but they thought they saw bodyguards around them. Well, that's your spiritual defense. So we need to pray. We're going to go into prayers now. I think I've covered the exhortation I wanted to. And we are going to go into prayers. The devil is raging these days. In fact, the Bible says that he's furious, coming down to the earth. Say, woe unto them that dwell in the earth in those days. The devil is raging, going around is also as a roaring lion, looking for whom to devour. Well, he must not find you as devourable, you know, but when he sees you and he sees the glory of God around you, when he sees your defense systems, he's going to move on to the next person. That's pretty much what we do, even in the natural. You know, in your house, you put up these burglary systems like gates and fences and things. And you may even put security cameras and warnings around the house. What's all that for? It's a deterrent to the would-be burglar that there are some defense systems and some alarms will be triggered. So if they, you know, when they look at the house and see the house is fortified with all those things, they'll think twice. Well, you know, they'll move on to the next house. They'll be looking for some house that looks weaker, doesn't have all those gates and fences and so on. Yeah, maybe they'll try that one. No, same thing spiritually speaking. So let's go into prayer. What we want to build up now is defense systems that the enemy will see and know that we are shielded. Plus also we ourselves, we know that we have this thick shield of faith that we have with us. And the glory of the Lord also, it can be like an aura all around you. The more time you spend in prayer, the more of that glory that's all around you. And virtue will defend you. No matter what the enemy is trying to do, virtue that's upon you from the Lord through prayer, intimacy with God through prayer, repeating the word of God and using your faith, it will defend you. So we are going to pray. I want to invite every one of us. First, I'm going to pray to end my brief exhortation, and then we're going to go into prayers for ourselves. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you because as we have admonished one another concerning prayer, concerning faith, concerning building our spiritual defenses, we are going to exercise ourselves in the same in just a few minutes. I pray for everyone that's in the room, whether now or may listen later on, they themselves, everyone will have this understanding that we must pray. The scripture says, pray without ceasing. We must pray, and when we pray, we must use the word of God, repeating that word, mingled with praises back to you. So Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us also to study the word of God to build our faith. Teach us to know to praise the Lord, dwelling in that secret place, repeating your word. And I pray, Lord, now as we go into prayer, give us that mantle of prayer. Everybody, strap it on. Suit up in prayer. and engage in the Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory, Lord. We know that when we pray according to your will, you hear us. And because you hear us, we know that we receive the petitions that we desired of you. Some specific petitions, Lord, that we desire today is protection, you know, against the onslaught of the devil, even at this time. We pray that wherever we go, we pray for protection around us in the name of Jesus. We have assurance that the angel of the Lord will encamp around us because our hearts are in the fear of the Lord. Teach us to walk in the fear of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that the word of God will always be in our hearts and in our mouths. Meditate upon it and speak it. Speak only that word. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Using that word in prayer against sickness, against disease, and over all the power of the enemy, because you have given us power to do so. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.